Rabbi Yechiel Spiro writes a whole bunch of has a whole series of books, touched by a story and touched by this and by Seder and crying and different things for different times of the year. So he writes in one of his books that he lived in Baltimore and said that, as we all know, people come knocking on the door all the time to collect tzedakah. So one time, right before Pesach, which is a heavy tzedakah time because Pesach is very expensive, a guy comes knocking on the door. You know, he's here, I'm here to collect tzedakah, here's my thing. I forgot what he's collecting for exactly. You know, and he cracks out his whole album of of pictures of all the people in need. And as we've all seen this a million times, goes to his money thing, takes out his wallet, you know, gives him whatever he gives him. The guy says, "Thank you very much." He's about to walk out, and he says, "By the way, do you want me to add your name to my Karban Pesach?" So the guy looks at him and says, or his spirit looks at him, he's like, "You're Karban Pesach, what are you?" Oh, he goes, "Is this like one of these Breslov guys? Like, what is this? You know, what's going on over here?" So he's like, "Yeah, listen, you know, Pesach's in 2 weeks, Mashiach's going to come, and the halacha is that if you want to be part of a Karban Pesach, you have to be appointed on it. So I have a whole list," and he takes out a whole list, and he says, "Look, these are all the people that have signed up to be part of my Karban Pesach when they're at the Beis Hamikdash, that they're going to be able to, and it's only 2 weeks away." So the guy's like, "I bought a sheep, you know, and I got to just know, maybe, you know, the list is starting to get too long, I might have to exchange it. But the sheep is sitting in my house waiting because, you know, I'm going to get back from my trip, I'm not going to have so much time, I'm going to get back from my trip, I might have to go straight to the Beis Hamikdash to shut the Karban Pesach." So at this point, Rabbi Spiro is like, "Whoa, this guy is, you know, he bought a sheep. You know, it's nice to talk about, oh, I hope Mashiach comes soon, or you could list your email address as something about the Mashiach, and it's real. You know, those are great lip services. But in reality, how badly do we really want it, and how badly are we really believing?" Rav Avram Shore writes around this time of year. He said, if you look at the third Hallelujah. So Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem and Hashemayim, Hallelujah, Bar Romim, Hallelujah, Kol Tzvav. It goes through the Shemesh and the Areach, all the things in the world that praise Hashem. And then he says, just so you know, just in case you don't believe me, not that I don't remember what exactly it says. And then it says, Jesus. It says, Halu Bam Romim, Halu Kol Malachav, all the angels are praising Hashem, all the hosts are praising Hashem, the Shemesh, the Areach, the Koch Ve'or, the Shmei Hashemayim, everything it goes through later, it's going to say the fire and the hail and the snow and the smoke and the mountains and the valleys, the trees, the animals, the creepy animals, the wild animals, the kings, Bachurim V'gam Besulos, young men and young women, and Zekanim and Arim, older people, younger people, all of them, Yahalu Hashem Hashem Ki Niskav Shemo Levado. All of them are praising Hashem. All of them are praising Hashem Ki Niskav Levado, because He is like the ultimate. He is like He's the it thing. Which, by the way, this in itself is of a muster. That while we're saying this Hallelujah, that maybe we should actually pay attention. That like, oh, everything in the world is praising Hashem. Maybe I should get on board with what everybody else is doing. He says, it says here, Hallelujah Shemei Hashemayim, the heavens praise Hashem. The Hamayim Asher Me'al Hashemayim, and the water that's on top of the Shemayim is also praising Hashem. So he asks, once you're talking about the water, so why is it only the Hamayim Asher Me'al Hashemayim? Why is it only the water that's on top of the Shemayim that praises Hashem? What about the water that we see every day? What about the water that's under the Shemayim? What about the oceans and the rivers? The Mississippi is sure making a whole lot of noise these days. So what about, you know, what about that? How come that doesn't praise Hashem? So one time I read the story. There was some girl, she like felt like a need to give back to society, so she got signed up, maybe Share It With Me or something. I forgot what it was exactly. And she was teaching Ethiopians. She was teaching Ethiopians how to read Hebrew. And she's doing the class, and you know, she's really excited, like, you know, big eyes, like, oh, this is like a fresh experience, I'm doing something good with my life for a change, I'm not being selfish, and I'm not being spoiled, she's all excited. And she starts, like, you can imagine, it's like any other class, like, starts with an aleph. And you take out an aleph, and then, you know, as you're teaching any language, so you do an aleph, and then you have to start drawing pictures of all the things that have to do with an aleph. You know, airplane, which even though It's not airplane because it starts with an A and an Aleph, but it's Avi Rum, right? So, right? Yeah, anyway, so Aleph, all the pictures of things with an Aleph, like apple. No, okay. Come on. You know, so she has all the things with an Aleph, and then everybody's like, you know, she's like, say Aleph, and everybody's like, Aleph, and everything's going great. Comes week two, and they're teaching Bet. So she gets up there, and she says, this is a Bet, and everybody's like, Bet, again, Bet, and she starts showing pictures of things that starts with Bet. She's taking out all her pictures. This is a Bet, this is a Bayit, and this is a Ben, and this is you know, all the things that start with Bet. And then comes a picture of the Beis HaMikdash, and this is the Beis HaMikdash. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh! And she's like, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash, this is like the real thing. And they're like, you've seen the Beis HaMikdash? So she says no, I haven't seen the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago. What are you talking about? I didn't see the Beis HaMikdash. So some kid in the back gets up. What do you mean? What do you mean the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago? What are you talking about? The Beis HaMikdash, this is the holiest place in the whole world. This is where God is. And she's like, no, this is destroyed. 2,000 years destroyed. No, no more. You know, it doesn't exist. And everybody walks out of the class. And you know, they file like a whole protest. Everybody walks out. She doesn't know what happened. One of the elder people of the community comes in and says, why are you spreading lies? You know, we came here to learn Hebrew. What are you spreading lies about what's going on? She's like, no, there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. What are you talking about? And the guy started crying. He's like, what do you mean there's no Beis HaMikdash? And she like, you know, there are a few stories about this, about the Ethiopian Jews who don't really know that much about what's going on outside. We'll talk about one maybe closer to Yom Yerushalayim. They didn't really know what was going on. And they heard that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they started to cry. They're like, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? What are you talking about? That's really crazy. There's an alumnus, Mark Merrill. You know, maybe you met him. Maybe you got received emails from him. He's like, when he sends out one of these like daily or weekly email thoughts. So today I got one, and he's telling a story about a guy that he woke up late, and he missed morning Seder, and he cried for missing morning Seder. So Avraham Ashur says, you want to know the reason why we don't say the mayim that's mitachas hashemayim, that we don't talk about the waters that's under the heavens for, and that hallelujah? He said, because the Medrash says that when God created the world, so everything was water. And then, however you want to understand this, God stuck his hands right in between the water, and he made a split. He split. Some waters would be on top by the Kisei HaKavod, and some waters are going to be on the bottom by the earth. So when the waters that were on the earth saw what was going on, and they saw that they were that they got cut off, so there was a riot. They're like, "What's going on over here? What you know? That's not fair. What do you mean? We don't have a chance to be close to Hashem. Why is that fair? That's not fair. We want to have a chance to get close to Hashem." The Medrash ends that Hashem consoled them. He said, "Don't worry. Even on this world, you're going to have Nisach HaMayim, and Nisach HaMayim is going to be like a holy service. That's when you have a chance to get close to Hashem." Rav Avraham Ashur says, you want to know why that the waters aren't in that hallelujah? Is because that midah of wanting it so bad, of wanting Hashem so badly that we can't contain ourselves, the teshuka, that with the desire and the passion, what do you mean I'm not going to be close to Hashem? That's not a reality. That can't be a fair existence. I want to be as close to Hashem as possible. So that, he said, you can't put that in like some parak of Tehillim with everybody else. That praise of Hashem that they declared at that moment, that goes beyond anything that, not the sun, not the moon, not the nobody. That power is, that's fire. That's energy. That is passion. We could get that, but we can't put that in the same Tehillim with everybody else. That praise of Hashem, that goes somewhere special. And the question for us is, how badly do we want Hashem? If we miss davening, or we miss morning Seder, you know, chas v'shalom, like, is it going to be like, all right, whatever, you know, I got another one coming up, I'll get tomorrow. I got afternoon Seder. It's okay, whatever. It's not the end of the world. In the eighth parak Mesilas Yesharim, so Ramchal writes, you want to know how you be an Eved Hashem? is if you're Yis'ames v'Yisbarer, if we believe that it's true, the power and the credit and the reward that you get, or how much tikkun is done in the world if we do a mitzvah, if that was any bit clear to us about how strong that is, how necessary that is, and how awesome that is, so then we'll never miss. But sometimes we're so caught up in just like, what do I say? All right, I miss chakras? Okay, no lightning. You know, not sick. I'm pretty, Okay, all right, so I missed it. Guess it can't be such a big deal because I don't see anything negative happening. But we know that that's not a reality. Things happen in our world all the time that we don't see. And just because we don't see the effects of it, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. On the most simple case, how many times have we been in a situation when we know that the person who hurt us, we know that he didn't do it intentionally, and we also know, I'm sure I've done this to people a million times, and the person who did it doesn't even know that he did it, and doesn't even know that he did anything wrong. He doesn't know that I'm hurt at all. But I'm walking around and I'm insulted. How could the rabbi not? How could this guy not? What was he thinking when he came into the dorm and he... And we're not going to make a big deal about it because that's not who we are. But just because we don't know, or just because we don't see, so does that mean that that's not a reality? This week is a very special and holy day, Pesach Sheni, Wednesday, Haba Aleinu Letova. So Pesach Sheni represents, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no such thing, and it's not acceptable for me to be on Shlav Bet. It's not acceptable for me to be separated. It's not acceptable for me to be far. What happened on Pesach Sheni? So Hashem says, there's an important day, it's called Pesach. It's a day to declare Emunah. You bring a Karban Pesach, which declares that I am one of Hashem's people. And there are some people that weren't able to bring Karban Pesach. Too far maybe. Maybe they were tamei for doing a mitzvah or something. And they came to Moshe and they said, I can't do a mitzvah. That's crazy. That's not fair. How could it be that I don't have a chance to do this mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Lama nigara. Why do I have to lose just because? That's not an acceptable way of life for me. And Moshe said, went to Hashem, what's going on? Hashem said, well, they want it so badly, let's make a day called Pesach Sheni, a second chance. The halacha didn't exist until people wanted it so badly that they needed to do the mitzvah. How about for us? One time one of my friends was on a plane, it was Hanukkah. So on Hanukkah, you don't like candles. You know, you don't like candles on a plane on Hanukkah. So he said he was like sitting on the plane, he couldn't fall asleep. Like he was shifting around, like he was just so uncomfortable. He's like, what do you mean I'm not going to do the mitzvah of Hanukkah tonight? Well, listen, buddy, it's okay, you're potter. You're on a plane, you're potter. Nobody's going to get you. They're not going to slam you. You're potter. You have to. You're not going. You're not wasting your time. You're going for a good reason. Right? Don't worry about it. You're potter. Okay, true. I'm potter. Okay, good. I'm potter. Right? But I lost. I lost. I lost something in the world. I lost something for myself. I'm not the same. A miss is devastating. I miss a Seder. That's devastating. I don't feel it. Good Mazel Tov. Since when do we know everything? Oh, now I'm all knowing. I know everything that happened. I know everything in the world that happened, and everything in the upper world, and how Hashem feels, and what happens to my soul. I know everything. I missed a tefillah, or I had a bad tefillah, or I said a lashon hara, or whatever. Lama nigara. Where's the fire? Next Sunday, a week from today, Lag BaOmer. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So we're. And make a fire. It's really cool. Let's look at these really kid pyromaniacs. Like it's really crazy. Like they're all everybody's walking around with torches. It's really nuts. But why does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represent fire? Because passion is fire. When he had passion for Hashem, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's passion was so strong that when he died, all that passion came out and translated into fire. When my passion is fire, so then we know that we're in a kadosh place. Shlomo HaMelech says, "In tivakshena kakesa b'chamamonim tichapsena." So how do I know how badly I'm supposed to want something? How do I know? So Shlomo HaMelech says, you know what? That's why Hashem created money. Because we want money. What wouldn't we do for money? Right? Even little money, $100. Right? What wouldn't you do for $100? Right? Well, let's say you lost $100 out of your wallet. fell out of your wallet somewhere. So what do we do when we lose $100? You go crazy. We turn everything over. Right? You look, oh gosh, what did I do today? Right? Where did I go? Maybe it was them. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was... No, we do everything we can. $100. Listen, maybe in your world, you get old, you see $100 not such a big deal anymore. $100, you go crazy for it. Or $1,000. Can you imagine you lost $1,000? How crazy we would go in order to find it? So what about for our soul? If I want Yiras Shemayim, like I want money. Oz Tavin Yiras Hashem. Then I'll understand what Yiras Shemayim is. The same way that if I lost X amount of dollars, for everybody it'll be different. How much I would look for it, and how crazy and how I would obsess about it. So if I want Yiras Shemayim like that, if I want to obsess about Yiras Shemayim, so then I'll get that's Yiras Shemayim. The thing with Pesach Sheni is a little bit different than Pesach Rishon. Because Pesach Rishon, you're not allowed to have chametz. Pesach Sheni, you're allowed to have chametz. Pesach Rishon, you spend 2 weeks cleaning and making sure you're totally pure. And then you get to a high elevated relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The message of Pesach Sheni, which is this Wednesday, the message of Pesach Sheni is that even if you have chametz, we're not so successful. I have chametz. I'm going to work on it to try to get rid of it, but I have chametz. I have some laziness, I have some anger, I have some questions, that's all good. But comes the opportunity of Pesach Sheni, I could still want Hashem even with my chametz. Even if I have some shortcomings, that doesn't mean Hashem's not interested. It doesn't mean Hashem doesn't want me. It means I still have an opportunity to get close to Hashem and figure things out even with my baggage. My friend Rabbi Benovitz once told me that when he was in KBY, when they were getting ready to leave Shana Bet. So not everybody leaves at the same time. Different people leave at different times. And you get a Sheirut together of all the people on your flight. So they got a Sheirut together and everybody was there. They're all getting all ready to go. It's been a very productive 2 years. And they're all fired up. And they're slapping each other five. They're saying goodbye to all the friends who are staying. And they're getting ready to go on the Sheirut. And there's a guy missing. They're like, oh, where's Shlomo? I haven't seen him. I don't know. Last time I saw him was in the Beis Medrash. He's not there. So they start calling. In those days, there was no cell phone. So they start looking. They start running around all over the place. Start looking for him. They're looking. And somebody found him in the library, like holding a sefer. With his head on the table, he was holding a sefer and he was crying. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Whether we can be successful outside yeshiva or not, that'd be for a different time. But even if we have to go, but what's my sense as I'm going? How badly, when we talk about priorities, so is Hashem my top priority? I don't want to go because I know that I'm gonna, or it's going to be more challenging. Let's say I'll be successful, but it'll be more challenging for me to be successful not in yeshiva than I was when I was in yeshiva. But I know I'm going to go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to be put in that position. I don't want to be challenged because I know that Hashem is the most important thing in my life. So is Hashem the most important thing in our life? Hashem should help us see the message of Pesach Sheni. But somehow we should figure out, or at least talk to somebody to get some etzah on how to make Hashem top priority in our life. That lama nigara, that if we do get obstacled, or we get stumbled, or we get short, that we feel that there's something missing. We're so passionate for Him when He's there, that if we miss, so then we feel that something's lacking. Hashem should help us see it as clearly as we can, so that we can have an ahava of a fire, an ahava that mayim is not able to put out. The fire that we'll have, and through that, perhaps through believing in a Korban Pesach or buying into a Korban Pesach, or feeling tears for a Beis Hamikdash, we'll be able to see Geula, which means we'll be able to see Hashem b'mehirah v'yameinu. Thank you.